morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Church. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. The times and descriptions of the Christmas Eve services are listed there. This year, we're adding a family lessons and carols service at 7 p.m. That service will be designed especially for children and will include a dedication ceremony to two babies that have been born into the life of the church. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can see new friends and old, visit our excellent bookstall, and stop by the information tables. Our children's and adult libraries are open after every service and available to you. The libraries are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. If you're interested in becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table in the parish hall. Jan and I go off on sabbatical in mid-January. On January 7th, we will celebrate the transition and welcome Justin Schroeder and Teresa Schwartz as they become our sabbatical ministers. We have every confidence in them, in the executive team, the staff, and the Board of Trustees, and we contemplate our departure knowing that you will be in very good hands indeed. Next week, Christmas Eve, there will be one morning service at 10 o'clock. The title of that service is Find a Stillness. May it be our prayer. We would like to greet you following the service at the Portland Avenue doors. Our chalice lighter this morning is Lydia McComas. Lydia, are you here? Lydia. Okay. Well, if Lydia McComas shows up in time, she will be our chalice lighter this morning. She's in the choir. Great. She's here, and she will be our chalice lighter. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
I was young, every Christmas, my parents and other neighbors would arrange a neighborhood caroling party. What I enjoyed most was arriving at a house, waiting until all the carolers had gathered around that person's door, and then being the one to knock or ring the doorbell. I would then dash back to rejoin the carolers and wait for the door to open. I remember one particular door that opened slowly, and an elderly woman appeared. And we burst into deck the halls with boughs of holly. A smile spread across her face as we finished singing, and then she motioned for us to sing another. She then disappeared from the door. We launched into We Three Kings and were nearly done when the woman appeared again, this time with a hunched, frail man, pushing a walker, guided and held by her. We didn't need any prompting this time. As the couple stood together in the doorway, we sang Silent Night, Holy Night, and they joined us in song. On that cold night in December, we blessed one another with our singing and with our presence. Come, let us worship together.
And now, will the carol choices be brought forward, please? S45, that's your supplement, Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming.
Should I go get another supplement? Stand up. Do you want to up or down?
Bethlehem, number 246. Same hymnal, number 231, Angels We Have Heard on High, all three verses. Sit down now for this one, In the Bleak Midwinter, in the supplement S47. Same supplemental hymnal, S41, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, still sitting, 1 and 3.
Amen.
standing, S46, Joy to the World, 1, 2, and 4. Switch hymnals. Number 253, O Come All Ye Faithful. 1, 1, and 3. Latin, English, and 3 in English. Thank you very much. And now will you join with us in reading in unison the reading from your order of service.
L- Listen to the voices of winter, bright as the snow, clear as the wind, warm as the fire within. The longest of nights, the darkest of days, we come singing winter's praise. Please be seated. After a moment of silence, please join in our sung meditation on peace. Rob will lead us, and we will sing through six times.
Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we take a moment to invite into the circle of friendship and compassion we want our church to be, those who are here, who are in need, or are celebrating some great turning in their lives, those who have died, and those who are not here with us this morning, who we would like to remember or to celebrate. I'll begin, and in a moment I will invite you to share the names of those you've brought here in your hearts. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief, chronic pain, or addiction, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days. We want you to know that the church is at your side. We mourn the death and celebrate the life of Bob Loffrey, grandfather to Kelly, and great-grandfather to Alex, Kira, Sam, and Tori. And we mourn the death and gratefully celebrate the life of Marjorie Bowens Wheatley, Unitarian Universalist minister, organizer, poet, and sage, who died this past week. Our hearts are with Alex Chandler, who's facing some difficult decisions relating to her health, and with Olga Zoltai, who faces surgery this coming week. And finally, we stand in compassion and solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we, especially in this season of peace, but all through the year, be instruments of a lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. I now invite you to share the names of those you have brought here in your hearts. For the names which have been spoken, for lives well lived and work yet to be done, we're grateful. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives, we acknowledge thy presence within and among and beyond us this day. Fill us, we pray, with an abundant expectancy. Help us to hold on to hope and let go of disappointment. Help us to embody the best in the holidays, to settle into the darkness, to be with the flickering candle and the open hearts of friends and neighbors. Help us lift our hearts in song and praise for what is yet to come, and gratitude for these sweet days we have to spend together. May this be our promise and our prayer. Amen.
Thank you.
I'd like to take this opportunity now to invite Laura Schlatter to join us up in the chancel.
Laura, we want to thank you and honor you this morning, and we're going to, as is our wont, use a little text and a little commentary. This is from Marge Piercy, a much beloved poem of ours. The people I love best jump into work head first without dallying in the shallows and swim off with sure strokes almost out of sight. They seem to become natives of that element, the black sleek heads of seals bouncing like half submerged balls. I love people who harness themselves, an ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and the muck to move things forward, who do what has to be done again and again.
Laura, we celebrate your tenacity, your dedication, all the times that you did things over again and again, even though you knew so well how to do them perfectly. You did them over and over in service to this community, and we thank you. I want to be with people who submerge in the task, who go into the fields to harvest and work in a row and pass the bags along, who are not parlor generals and field deserters, but move in a common rhythm when the food must come in or the fire be put out. The work of the world is as common as mud, botched. It smears the hands, crumbles to dust. But the thing worth doing well has a shape that satisfies, clean and evident. Greek amphoras for wine or oil, Hopi vases that held corn, are put in museums, but you know they were made to be used. The pitcher cries for water to carry, and a person for work that is real.
And your work has been real from before we arrived, when Barbara and Louise decided you were the one to help to move this church forward, both in numbers, but more importantly, in depth of connection, depth of commitment, when my ego got in the way and I wanted the church to grow fast. You kept saying, let's grow deep. And you've been right, and you've done beautifully, and we're deeply grateful for your work. Thank you, Laura. We have a little gift for you, which
you can't open till the 4:30.
But it will be fairly obvious what it is from the return address on the envelope.
We recognize the sacrifice that many of our staff members make by working on weekends. Laura has gone above and beyond her work weekend after weekend in organizing and producing Finding Yourself at Unity, which for all of you, many Saturdays, it's been held on Saturdays. So in recognition of those sacrifices, we have given you a gift certificate to bedandbreakfast.com. And we hope you enjoy this with your wonderful husband, who has also made sacrifices.
I haven't prepared a speech, so I just want to say thank you to all of you, to Rob and Jan, and all of the other Unity staff for making this an incredible place to work. And I'm honored to have served you. Thank you.
Thank you.
The organization that we are asking you to give to today does important work of empowering new immigrants who have special needs. And the people who provide those services are actually people who were immigrants themselves at one time. This organization does very important, important work, and we ask that you give generously. Thank you. Christmas is often portrayed as a season of magic in our culture, and its best-known stories are those of miracles wrought by love. Underneath all the glamour and tinsel and mystery, at the genuine heart of Christmas beats the simple truth of our everyday love for each other, of parents for their children, of sisters and brothers, of lovers, of friends, of family and home. One of the sources of our strength in difficult days is the ritual of love that gives identity and continuity to our families, our friendships, and our communities. In little acts of loving service or in willing sacrifices for someone else's good, we reaffirm our own humanity and the human kinship that brings compassion and peace into the world. The customs and rituals may differ, but we can know that in families everywhere, in Leningrad, in Jerusalem, in Stockholm and Kandahar, in Los Angeles and Baghdad, the same light of love shines in the hearts of families, communities, giving hope and faith to the human spirit in its age-old longing for peace. One such ritual celebrated at the solstice in the cold northern churches and cultures of Scandinavia and brought with immigrants from those land to America is the tradition of the Lucy Bride, or Senka Lucia. Young women dressed in white and wearing crowns of lighted candles waken their families on Santa Lucia Day with songs and special food. Well, see for yourself, for here they come now.
Mm-hmm.
figure of Santa Lucia, as we know her today, is a weaving together of several ancient traditions, many of which were taken from folklore long before the Christian era. Norse, Celtic, Germanic, and Roman traditions all contain images of females bringing light and lamps during the days of the winter solstice. Stories of grain, ships, and cats also figure along with the blessed image of the saving light and love of one brave daughter. In Italy, Lucia was the beautiful daughter of a wealthy family in Syracuse, a town on the Italian island of Sicily. It is said that during the time of persecution, she carried food to the Christians hiding in dark underground tunnels, wearing a wreath of candles on her head to light the way. An angry suitor whose offer of marriage she had refused reported her activities to the Roman authorities, and the tradition holds that she was martyred on the day of the winter solstice. Years later, when the island of Sicily was in the grips of severe famine, the people of Syracuse gathered in their cathedral to ask for help in the name of Saint Lucia, and as they prayed, a ship full of grain sailed into the harbor.
Stories travel like the wind, touching the lives of the listeners as the wind touches us, sometimes chilly, teaching us about the fear that harm and danger can arouse, sometimes gentle in the promise of warmer and more helpful times ahead. Stories speak to us of times of tragedy and triumph, times of scarcity and bounty. Stories travel like the wind, arriving in lands, weaving the threads of the story into the lives of the people who hear them, retelling them to fit their own situations, retelling them with their landmarks, making the story their own.
It was a cold winter, the coldest even the oldest man and the oldest woman could remember. The snow was piled high, and the wind never stopped blowing. Great drifts of snow would blow across the village and the frozen harbor. No one had been able to get in the village for weeks. Supplies were running dangerously low. The adults tried to survive on almost nothing in order to give as much as they could to the elderly and to the young. The light seemed to last for such a little bit of time, and then the bitter cold would descend, and deep, deep darkness would surround them all. The people of the village were beginning to despair. Would they all starve in the great cold? On the darkest night of the year, they gathered in fear and hopelessness. But as they sat together, one lonely child sat by the window. He cleared the window with his dirty, worn sleeve. There was a light coming across the lake. He rubbed his eyes, and there it was, light coming across the lake. He couldn't but help out, burst out with a wondrous shout, "There's a ship, it's coming." Of course, the elders did not believe him. It wasn't possible. But as they all rushed outside, there was indeed a ship sailing across Lake Vänern with a beautiful woman all dressed in white, at the helm with a wreath of candles in her hair that shone brightly into that darkened night. The young woman saved the people from starvation and despair. Things were never as hopeless as they were before the daughter of light, their own Santa Lucia, had arrived. Please join me in the Santa Lucia carol printed in your order of service.
Thank you.
of human history, in every land and every culture, the light bringers arise. These are the men and women who speak both the truth and longing of what it is to be human, who dare to live with courage and authenticity that shows what our lives might be. Always the light bringers are faced with hardship and struggle, often the oppression of powerful enemies. Their sacrifices remind us that it is not by our temporal successes, but by our faithfulness to high ideals that our own lives will be measured. My friends, we are not alone. The light bringers are all around us. The earth will turn toward the sun again. They come with their eternal message of hope. We may not prevail just now, in the short term, but we will not give up. We will not give up on love. We will be the light bringers and the light guardians in our own culture, in our own time, waiting and working for peace and understanding. For we know that all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light which is within us and the peace we want for the world. We must find within ourselves first. Let us share the light. May it be so. Bringing light into the world often involves risk, often invites new things. May we risk in this season of skepticism, may we risk our love and our kindness and our wonder, and may it not be disappointing.